In the last talk, I spoke about the importance of the mode of goodness in our devotional progress. And some who listened to that might have thought that, well, what's all this about the mode of goodness? We just have to be Krishna conscious. The mode of goodness is lower. Yes, in one sense that's true. But if we examine some of the qualities listed in the Bhagavad Gita as typical of the mode of goodness, sattva guna, then we can get a better appreciation of how it really is best to cultivate qualities in the mode of goodness and try and live like that rather than the lower modes of material nature. And of course, we want to transcend goodness also. But again, many of the qualities of the mode of goodness, when they're engaged in Krishna's service, they're really parallel with and really intrinsic to devotional service, whereas the characteristics of the lower modes are actually antagonistic to or antithetical to the practice of devotional service. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about three kinds of austerities, which are called austerity in goodness when they're practiced with a certain mindset. And we can extend this to our whole practice of devotional service. Krishna says the austerity is practiced in goodness when it's practiced with faith for the sake of the Supreme and without expectation of material benefits. So this is for our whole devotional service. We have to have faith. It's not just some kind of religion that we automatically do. Faith is bolstered by regular study of Shastra, regular contemplation of the message of Shastra. It's not simply some religious formulas. And for the sake of the Supreme, we have to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And that automatically means without expectation of material benefits. So as much as we're looking for some name, fame, glory, maybe money, it's not pure devotional service. So the mode of goodness here very much parallels and prepares us for pure devotional service. The three kinds of austerities in the mode of goodness consist of, first of all, austerity of the body. The first item is mentioned, worship of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, it's not enough simply to think, well, I'm a devotee, but we actually have to do the work of devotional service. We actually have to do it. We have to rise early, attend the arities, or perform the arati. We have to chant our rounds. We have to follow all the rules and regulations of how are we going to worship the Supreme Lord? It's not enough simply to say, I'm a devotee. There are certain things we have to do. And the next point Krishna mentions is worship of the Brahmanas. Formally, that is done. By formally, I mean that by according to formulas in Vedic culture. And that means also having great respect for the devotees. It doesn't mean necessarily having respect for anyone who has a thread on their shoulder, but someone who's actually living as a devotee, we should respect that. There is a difference between someone who's actually living as a brahmana and one who has a thread on their shoulder. We should see that, and we should respect all devotees, but especially be respectful to those who are seriously practicing worship of the spiritual master. This is emphasized again and again and again throughout the Vedic literature. It is becoming undermined in present Vaishnav society for various reasons. One is this impersonalistic, egalitarian outlook in which no authorities are respected. Another is because of difficulties that various spiritual masters, those who have taken that role, have had. And then the insidious Ritvik philosophy, but worship of the spiritual master is stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita as an essential component for spiritual advancement. It should be done. Worship of the parents, this is practically lost in present society, especially in the West, where there's no idea of worshiping anyone, let alone God or anyone else. And parents aren't respected, they're not respectable, but if parents are living a respectable life and they've raised us, they should also be maintained. Cleanliness, a big topic. There's a lot to be improved in the lives of most devotees. Cleanliness, simplicity. Don't accumulate more things than we need. Don't make complex plans for living our lives. These are the symptoms of a brahmana. Brahmana means in the mode of goodness. Again, it's not just a matter of having a thread on our shoulder. It's a formality, practically, in ISKCON, that we give people Brahman initiation. But really, we should see the qualities. Non-violence. This comes, again, we're going to have austerity of speech next. Non-violence. Devotees don't go around physically assaulting others. There may be cases, but not normally. But also non-violence in speech, not speaking harshly, we'll get through to that also. Celibacy, another difficult one in the modern age, but absolutely essential in spiritual advancement. And mode of goodness means there has to be celibacy, means self-control. Self-control is there as part of the austerity of the mind, but physical self-control. That means no contraceptive sex, no masturbation. These are big topics maybe, but we have to see this is the mode of goodness. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe you think, well, I'm a devotee, so I don't have to be in the mode of goodness. But a devotee should rise to the transcendental platform, which means automatically these things should be included. Are we there? Are we really there? Well, we should think about these things. The next point is the austerity of speech, speaking words that are truthful, not unnecessary, that means not boasting, not overinflating our situation, not speaking little lies to improve our position, or big lies. If we always praise Krishna, that will be truthful. Speaking words that are pleasing, which is similar to the next two, speaking words that are beneficial, speaking words that are not agitating to others. I see so many problems in Vaishnava society just because devotees don't follow this. Now, one quality of a brahmana is arjavam, straightforwardness. But speaking in a way that hurts others, that's one of the qualities of the demons. Parushyam, harshness of character. And I see practically devotees resolve to go on in devotional service can be broken by harsh speech. Devotees are supposed to be soft-hearted, so they shouldn't break the soft hearts of others by their harsh words. And we see devotees, sometimes they come and they dedicate and they do good service, but they just get, I've seen it, they get broken by repeated, unnecessary harsh speech. Something may be needed to be said sometimes to correct someone, but if it's said in such a manner that devotees, it just hurts them so much, and then they get broken, their heart is broken. So speaking words that are beneficial, how speaking words to help devotees advance in devotional service, not agitating. Sometimes that may be there to agitate them, to wake them up. Utishtata, jagrata, get up, wake up. But it has to be done carefully. Otherwise, if you're not an expert surgeon, you may end up doing more damage with your knife, your cutting words. Regularly reciting Vedic literature. Again and again, Srila Prabhupada told us to read. He had classes. So this is austerity of speech. Are we doing it? Are we cultivating this? Austerity of the mind, satisfaction. We'll find again and again in Bhagavad Gita statements such as Naprahrishyat priyam prapya, nodvijet prapya cha priyam, yadricha labha santushtaha. Statements that one should not become elated if one gets something, or not be depressed or disturbed in adverse situations. Yadricha labha santushtaha. Satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. Satisfaction of the mind. Not hankering. Na shochati na kankshati. Lamenting, oh, this went wrong, this didn't happen. I lost that. Na kankshati. I want this, I want that. This is the mode of goodness. It's a feature of a devotee. If we don't have this, then we're not a devotee. We're not, at least we're not doing very well in devotional service. Simplicity. Again, don't accumulate things more than we need. Simplicity of mind, not many wants or demands. Gravity, definitely. A devotee should be grave. We have a very grave purpose in our life, the cultivating the higher values of life, self-control. Don't just run after whatever the senses dictate to us. Don't blow up in anger over some little thing, maybe not over some big thing either. Purification of one's existence. That means always acting in such a way. Making our life in such a way that there's always purification going on. That means we're very careful how we interact with the material world, the kind of association we choose. These are qualities of the mode of goodness. We can see that these are all conducive for devotional service. If we don't practice this, then we're not going to advance. Brahminical qualities mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, peacefulness of mind. Again, because one is not agitated over little things, we expect a saintly person to be peaceful at heart. Active, yes, and for that may appear to be in the mode of passion, but it's not the mode of passion, because he's doing it for Krishna at heart. He is shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam atayiv shanta. This peacefulness is automatically attained by a devotee because he has no desire other than to please Krishna. Self-controlled again, austere, pure in heart, tolerant of heat and cold. Sickness will come and go. People say so many bad things against you. Well, if people say things, maybe there's a need for us to improve, but there may be vicious, envious people, and what to do? Honest, nothing to hide. Knowledgeable, mode of goodness means we have to study. We have to know, not book knowledge that has to become realized by practice. That means another quality is their gyanam, vijnanam, wisdom, religious, having faith in Shastra, qualities of the mode of goodness, absolutely essential in devotional service. One in the mode of goodness has unbreakable determination, which controls the activities of the mind. Unbreakable determination. It means we're so fixed on what we're doing that we control the activities of the mind, control the activities of the life, control the activities of the senses. Mode of goodness? Yes. Devotional service? Yes. Parallel. One in the mode of goodness discriminates between what should be done and what should not be done. Absolutely essential. That means following the injunctions of Shastra, and in devotional service that translates as anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam. Accepting whatever is favorable for advancement in devotional service and rejecting whatever is not. A person in the mode of goodness performs his duty. He's dutiful. He's not whimsical. How does he perform it? Without false ego, with great determination, with enthusiasm. We have duties to do in devotional service, but we shouldn't just take it as some chore, but perform activities without false ego, with great determination, with enthusiasm, without wavering in success or failure. We saw this with Srila Prabhupada. His attempts at preaching, failure after failure, and then eventually some success came. He does it only because it ought to be done. He doesn't think, well, do I like it or not? No, I have a duty. I have an order. I have to do it without fearing the troublesome effects. Srila Prabhupada came to America. Very troublesome, very difficult. We have to go out for preaching. Troublesome, yes. We have to rise early in the morning. Troublesome, yes. But we have to do it. And as a duty, we should go to the temple, offer respect to the deity, do service, all these things. Food, of course, devotees take Krishna prasadam, but even then, we should not just take things for the pleasure of the tongue. Then our honoring of prasadam, we don't get the full effect if we take it as something for our sense gratification. We should also think how to eat in what kind of food we should eat in such a way that it will nourish the body so that we can perform devotional service very well. One in the mode of goodness is attracted to foods that increase the duration of life, purify the mind, aid bodily strength. In the mode of goodness, one feels happiness because he isn't affected by material miseries, knowing that he's free from material reactions. Now, of course, in Krishna consciousness, we feel happiness by service to Krishna. But that service to Krishna shouldn't be impacted by the lower modes of nature when we become affected by material miseries. A devotee should be confident that I'm free from material reactions because I'm serving Krishna, but he shouldn't take that as an excuse for acting whimsically or sinfully. Happiness and goodness arises from activities performed for awakening, understanding, self-realization. In other words, one should feel happy in a life of the mode of goodness, in a life of devotional service. If we don't find happiness in it, we're not going to go on very long. We really have to come to this platform of coming up out of the lower modes of nature and on into the realm of transcendence, pure devotional service. One in goodness is free from illusion. Yeah, really? Really there? One in goodness has knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond the body. We should know this. We should cultivate this. Krishna repeatedly throughout Bhagavad Gita speaks about understanding that we are the spirit soul beyond the body. Don't think that because I theoretically know it and I repeat it, that I know it. We should understand I'm not the body, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. A devotee in the mode of goodness is not hateful of that which troubles his body. Because there are reactions of the body. We may be suffering, just like I'm suffering now from what's called prickly heat. My whole body feels like it's on fire all the time. What to do? It's something that happens to the body. I have to go on with my service. Don't become overly distressed. You can't, not much you can do about it. Well, you can take some measures to try to bring it down. What can you do? You have to suffer it for some time. One in the mode of goodness is not hateful of inauspicious work or attached to auspicious work. This very much applied to Arjuna because he had to fight, which means killing so many people, including killing, in his case, he had to fight and kill people which normally you wouldn't fight against them and kill them, brothers and gurus, but he had to do it. It's his duty, so Krishna taught him not to be hateful of inauspicious work. We may have to do things in devotional service which we wouldn't normally want to do, or they may not seem very good, but sometimes we have to do it. We shouldn't be attached to auspicious work either, saying that, well, I have to do things which are in the mode of goodness only. We have to transcend the mode of goodness. And even a person in the mode of goodness is not attached to punya karma, auspicious work for elevation to planets, for sense gratification. These are big topics which could be discussed in more detail. I'll move on. One in goodness has no doubts about work. He knows what he has to do and he does it. One in the mode of goodness renounces all material association. He doesn't identify, I am this body, I am from this nation, I'm black, I'm white, no such thing. One in goodness renounces attachment to the fruit of his work. He's doing it for Krishna. As far as sacrifice is concerned, which we can translate that into our present context, our performance of devotional service, one in goodness sacrifices according to the direction of scripture. We have to perform devotional service according to the direction of scripture. As a matter of duty, desiring no reward. And of course, higher than that is doing everything for Krishna. But we can see how all of these characteristics of the mode of goodness, they are favorable in devotional service. Definitely the mode of passion and ignorance is not. One in goodness understands things in the correct perspective. That takes some work to get our perspective correct. We have to hear regularly, understand, and to keep that in the correct perspective, because all around us there's so much atmosphere of the lower modes of nature. So many people will say so many things and try to discourage us in so many ways from pure devotional service. So cultivating the higher values of life, this mode of goodness, we should not dismiss it out of hand. It is generally to be adopted among devotees. We live with devotees in a saintly manner. If we're acting in the mode of passion and ignorance, we're not helping ourselves. We're not giving good association to others. If we're acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, we can't even properly associate with devotees. So from time to time, we should consider, if not all the time, we should consider these directions that Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita in some detail regarding the mode of goodness and try to adopt that in our life, in Krishna consciousness. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyo eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.